Blog Talk Radio.
evening, everyone. Thank you all for joining in with us on this 25th day of September, the fourth Friday of the month. I'm just trying to say, wow, time is really flying by. We don't even realize how fast time is going until we just actually sit down and say the date. Thank you again for joining in. I'm your host, Minister Sylvia Kaiser, and I'm so excited about the night. I'm so excited about the man of God, what he's going to do, what he's going to say, how he's going to bless us. I'm just excited about what God is doing in this day and time. I'm just ready for the word. I'm just ready for you all to take down your notes, so get your Bibles, pencils, paper, notebooks, pads, little pocket folders, whatever you got to do. Get the brown paper bag where you tear it off just to write down a couple of little notes, some key remarks, some key scriptures, so that you can be ready to just go back and read that word all over again. So I am going to check with the man of God to see if he's on the line. Prophet, are you on the line yet? Okay, well, while we're waiting for the man of God to get on the line, we're just going to keep talking and just trusting God. We're going to keep praying. We're going to pray and ask God to open the lines, release the lines, that nothing can block the lines on tonight. Because we do know that every time the man of God is appointed and ready to bring forth the word, that the enemy tried to get in place to just block up the lines. The enemy tries all his little tricks and trades to try to keep the man of God from speaking. But we know that God is able and God is willing and God is God. He's God Almighty all by himself. And we know that tonight is no different from any other night, that God will have his way. We just got to say, God, we just touch and agree with one another. Prophet, are you on the line yet?
Oh, yes, ma'am.
All right, now. Okay, so did you want a prayer? Did you want me to open up with prayer? Or what did you want? How did you want to do tonight?
You can go ahead and open up with prayer.
Okay. All right, well, let's start the night off with going before God. You all touch and agree with us that God's will be done on tonight, that all that are in place to receive will receive, and those that are not in place will ask God to open their hearts, their minds, their spirit to receive what the Lord is going to say on tonight. Father God, we come before you, O Lord, with an open heart, an open spirit and an open mind, God, with our arms held up high and open, asking you, Lord, to forgive us of every sin, asking you, Lord, to just let the word penetrate our broken heart. Let the word penetrate our heart. Let your word penetrate everything about us, oh God. God, we're just asking you to just give us only what you can give us, God. No one else can set us free. No one else can give us a desire to want to be free. Nobody but you, oh God. God, we're just asking you to just be our Lord and be our Savior. Be our all in our all. God, we ask you to forgive every sin that we have committed, willingly, unwillingly, knowingly, unknowingly. God, we just come before you, open up truthfully. We just open up. We're laying naked before you, God, pointing our fingers at ourselves, God. Just saying, God, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of deliverance, standing in the need of prayer, standing in the need of you, oh God, that you will be our Lord, we will be our God. We know you are our Redeemer, for God, we give it all to you. God, we trust in you with it all. We're trusting you with everything, God. Before we take it back, oh Lord, we would add more to it. God, teach us how to decrease that you may increase. God, teach us how to get out of your way. Teach us how to do everything you tell us to do, because it may not make sense to us, God, but we know that, God, all things that you tell us to do, all things are possible through you, that when if you lead us and guide us and we become a willing vessel, God, that your will be done, God. Not our will, but your will, oh God. God, we're just asking you right now to raise up America, God. Prepare America for what's about to come upon her. God, let your will be done, that in these next 7 to 9 years, God, we will see your hand move in a mighty way like never before, God. Like I said earlier, we have been saying, your will, God, your will, not our will, God. For everything we do and everything we do, say and everything we put our hands to, God, let it be because you have called it forth. Our ways are not your ways, nor our thoughts your thoughts. But, God, we want to become willing vessels that you may use us in all the ways that you called us to be used. In Jesus' name, God, I pray this prayer, and so it is, and it is so. Amen. Now that we prayed and we come into agreement and we're ready to write down, take down, and do what we need to do, I'm going to hand it over to the man of God so that we can get God's word on tonight. So it's in your hands, Prophet. Our speaker is Prophet Antoine Thomas, and let's receive the man with a hearty amen. Amen, man of God, it's in your hands.
Awesome. Thank you so much for that. I very much appreciate that, and thanks for that awesome prayer. As every time we need to pray, it is now. Definitely it is now. And we are grateful to, amen, to just be among those who are called righteous. And so we're grateful to God because God has chosen us to not sit around and be dormant during this time. So many times we have situations where there are people who, who in a sense they're just functioning, but they are not productive. There's nothing coming as a way of fruit is concerned. And so I am excited that God has chosen us, not just me, but those who are connected, those who are in his will. He's chosen us to be fruitful in this time. And I am grateful for that. And as we endeavor to do God's will, we want to always make sure that whatever we are doing, that we're doing it in the name of Jesus, that we're doing it so that God can get the glory. And that is our purpose. That is our endeavor. And forgive me if it seems like I'm babbling. I'm trying to get a good internet connection while we are on a Facebook Live. For some reason, we're in Tampa tonight because I have to perform a wedding on tomorrow. And so I'm in Tampa, Florida, and it seems as though I cannot get a very good internet connection while I am here in Tampa. So I'm going to try to move around a little bit and see if that helps me in any shape, form, or fashion at all, because I want to make sure that everybody can take part in what's going on. I believe this word is going to bless you tremendously tonight. I had a chance to sit down. I was in the airport earlier today and had a chance to just kind of sit before the Lord for an extended period of time and waiting on our plane, and God just began to share some things with us and lay some things on my heart concerning what he would have us to share tonight. And I want to share those things with you as we continue to try to get connected to the internet. And we're going to see in a minute if it allows us to connect. But I am grateful to God for all that he's doing and for all that he allows, because we're not worthy. That's just the truth of the matter. Whatever God does, we are not worthy of what he allows us to have. and what he gives us, and I do because I fear there's no good connection at all. So we'll try some space to allow us to take a few moments and to share and to be productive in what we're doing. All right. So if you will, I want to really quickly, while I have a connection, I want to go to Exodus chapter 1 very quickly. I want to go there, and if you would do me a favor, if you would share this live, those of you who are logging on, please share this live, and we'll give you a second or so to get your Bibles ready and go to Exodus chapter 1. All right? Alrighty, alrighty. I am happy. I'm excited. I'm tired, but I am excited. It's been a long day. I have been up since about 5 this morning, and we left Chicago and then came to Orlando and left Orlando and drove and got in the car. And blessed Apostle Hester, I know you said live on your live it was only 5. I don't know what number I came in at, but I believe I was probably number 400 and something. But nonetheless, I was trying to get in. And then that's Apostle Marlon, my good friend. That's our good friend, Apostle Marlon Hester. Awesome man of God in the kingdom today during this time. And I want to jump right in, okay? I want to jump to Exodus chapter 1 and verse number 8. I just want to show you something real quick. It says, "And then a new king who did not know about Joseph came to power over Egypt. He said to his people, look at the Israelites, people more numerous and stronger than we are. Come, let us deal wisely with them. Otherwise, they will continue to multiply. And if a war breaks out, they will ally themselves with our enemies and fight against us and leave the country." That's in Bishop Johnson. I want to go over to chapter 2, okay? And jump down a little bit. Verse number 2, it says, Exodus chapter 2, verse number 2. It says, "The woman became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a healthy child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she was no longer able to hide him, she took a papyrus basket for him, sealed it with bitumen and pitch, then put the child in it and set it among the reeds along the edge of the Nile. His sister stationed herself at a distance to find out what would happen to him." Many of us know this story. "Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself by the Nile, while her attendants were walking alongside the river, and she saw a basket among the reeds, sent one of her attendants to take it, opened it up, and saw a child, a boy, crying, and felt compassion for him and said, 'This is the one of the Hebrew children.' Then the sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and get a nursing woman for you from the Hebrews so that she may nurse the child for you?' Pharaoh's daughter said, 'Yes, do so.' For the young girl went and got the child's mother, and Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Take this child and nurse him for me, and I will pay your wages.' So the woman took the child and nursed him. Tonight I want to talk about anointed in a hostile environment." Again, anointed in a hostile environment. First of all, I want to talk about this new Pharaoh that did not know the Joseph. And sometimes you'll find out that the favor that once was will have an expiration date. The prophet, how can you say God's favor has an expiration date? Because a new dispensation is now coming in. And so then now there must be a new favor established concerning who you are and where you are and your assignment. so sometimes we are busy living off the grace of somebody else. We are busy living off the favor of someone else, which sometimes will cause us to be lazy, will sometimes cause us to take for granted what God has put in our hands. And so, therefore, we have to learn how to seek God. Bless you, Brothers McCoy. We have to learn how to seek God concerning what he's saying to us in this dispensation, in this season, in this hour, because what he told your grandfather, what he told your father even, may not still be good concerning you. There are times when we are still trying to keep moving, keep doing things that from an old grace, and then wondering why it's not working, wondering why it is not, why it's not being fruitful. And for some of us, it is simply because we have not asked God to renew the wine that we are doing it. And so, therefore, we have to make sure that what we're living in, the grace that we're walking in, is the grace concerning us for this season. Many times we are walking in and we're wondering why the enemy seems to be so productive and seems to be so accurate in our lives and what he's doing. And it's simply because we have not found the new grace, the new dispensation for us. We have not associated the time in which we're doing things and which God and what God is saying to us in this season. Understand is the enemy is very much so concerned about your productivity level. Because, you know, some people say, you don't care about your shouting, you don't care about your singing. But it's not completely accurate. He's concerned about your singing and your shouting if your singing and your shouting is causing you to be productive. If your singing and shouting doesn't cause you to change what you're doing, then of course he's not worried about that. So I don't want you to get confused what's being said. He's not concerned about your singing and shouting if you sing and shout and go home the same way. He's not concerned about your singing and shouting if you have not disciplined yourself or you have not crucified your flesh. Because many of us sing and shout all every day, all day, but we're still the same as we were prior to the singing and shouting. Because you can hear the word and still not be in it. Because a lot of people say that because they want to put emphasis on the word. But if you hear the word and don't nothing change, then he ain't concerned about the word that you heard either. He is concerned about your productivity. And so then Pharaoh got scared and Pharaoh got nervous simply because he saw them multiplying. The enemy is concerned about me multiplying. Not concerned about how you look. He's not concerned about how you seem to be represented. He's concerned about you multiplying. He's concerned about the fact that if you ever walk into the potential that you know you have, he knows he's already defeated. Even if you, thank you, Lord Jesus, even if you have not been thinking about going into war, if you have not been thinking about connecting with those who hate him just as much as you do, he knows if you ever get with somebody who hates him just as much as you do, he knows he's already defeated. He's already fearful in his mind. He's fearful about your praise and your worship and your obedience because if it ever connects with what else hates him, he's in trouble. And he knows that. Here it is. I won't be long tonight. I promise you I won't be long tonight. I want you to share this, all right? So here it is. This woman conceives a child. And during this time, as you know, Pharaoh had sent a mark out to kill the male seed. And it's imperative that mothers and fathers, we pray for our male seed because the enemy is after our male seed. He's after the male seed because if you can stop the male seed, you stop productivity again. If you stop productivity, then he's not in trouble. That's why so many of our young men are dying and why this epidemic of death is so dangerous because it is a stoppage to seed. If there is no seed, there is no harvest. There's no seed, there's no plenty. If there's no plenty, there's no harvest. If there's no harvest, there's no productivity. If there's no productivity, then there's imminent death. You begin to die out. So the enemy is concerned about your ability to sow seed. For some of you, that's also what you're giving. The enemy is concerned about you being able to sow seed. This is not a time. It may be rough. It may be tight of a year, but it is a season where you should definitely be sowing in your local church, in the man and woman of God, your pastor, your apostle, your bishop, your prophet, whoever the case might be. You need to make sure you're just sowing into them. If they are giving you life, they are watching for your soul. You need to sow. So the Bible says that she hid him. She hid him for 3 months. And so when she could no longer hide him, she then took him and pretty much made him a baby ark for the most part, with brushes and dabbed it with slime and with pitch, and she put him inside, and she laid in it flags by a river brink. And so some of you, I need you to wait, because you're trying to come out of hiding too soon. And there is a season and a time for you to come out of hiding. Yes, you're anointed. Yes, you call. Yes, there's a word in your belly. Yes, there's an anointing on your life. There's a call on your life. You've been prophesied to. You've been prophesied on. You've been prophesied about. And those people who are around you can see that anointing on your heart, on your life. But that does not mean it's time to come out of hiding. Be patient. And let God transition you from hiding to delivery. Because sometimes we're moving too fast because we want to be used and we want to be seen sometimes. And for whatever reason that case might be, you feel like you got something to say. But you have to wait, because God is trying to season you for the grace and for the time and for your assignment. Many of us have put ourselves in danger because we are looking to come out of hiding too soon, and we have not been taught, we have not been graced for what we have to deal with, and the enemy is sending everything he can at you because he knows. He sees the potential. He knows that God's been hiding you, but you're trying to come out of hiding way too fast. A lot of us miss the timing of God and miss the blessing of God because of lack of patience. So you need that long suffering that will show you, even though you want to, and you feel like you can, and you feel like you ought to wait on the release of the Lord to do so. One of the things that I had to learn early, I don't know how early it was, but when I began to really walk in the office of a prophet, that everything that I heard God say to me, I needed to say it. And so then God began to teach me, I can tell you something in one particular season. I can plant a seed in your heart and your mind in one particular season. But does that mean you need to release it as of yet? And the way I learned that was through trial and error. I said something and it was too fast, it was too soon. And it brought conflict towards the word. Didn't mean it wasn't accurate, didn't mean it wasn't true. But it was out of timing. And because it was out of timing, it did not have the effect and productivity that it should have had. And so then I had to learn to ask God to open the door. God, you open the door for me to share this. And every time I pray that, God opens the door without fail. And sometimes it may be weeks, months, and maybe even a year or so past the time when God gave that to me. But when I waited on him to open that door, then it was received, and it was received wholeheartedly. It was unmistakable. It was undeniable. It was irrefutable. No other choice but to hear the voice of the Lord, simply because I waited on the timing of God. And people always say, "Oh, man of God, you're so accurate." That's not because of me. It's because when I hear God speak, I'm asking God, when and how should I say it? Because sometimes we get so angry. I heard the Lord say it. Sometimes you did hear the Lord say it. They don't mean, but you didn't hear the Lord say, "Say it, say it." You heard him say it, but he didn't tell you to say it. And those are two different things. And sometimes we have to wait on the timing of God, because the enemy is looking to attack you while you're young and immature and ambitious. Because ambition without wisdom is deadly. Sometimes we have ambition to do, but we don't have the wisdom on how to get it done. Sometimes you need a mentor. Sometimes you need somebody to tell you, "No, hold back. Be cool. You need somebody to tell you, no, you did that wrong. You need somebody to tell you, no, put a little more of this, or take some of that away, or wait till this right here. Be careful how you say this, be careful how you do that. Because some things can't be revealed just as it is. That's why Jesus waited before he went to see Lazarus. Because it's not the time yet. Jesus could have very much so went there, healed Lazarus. Lazarus would have never died. But he says, no, I got to wait. I got to wait it. My God, I've got to wait until the manifestation of the miracle can happen. Hallelujah. Bless you, Jesus. And God is just saying to us, just wait. If you wait, you'll see a miracle. Not just a blessing or not just a change. If you wait, you'll see a miracle. If you wait on me and be of good courage, I'll strengthen your heart. Not just to make you feel good, not just to make you shout, not just to make you dance. Hallelujah. But I'll strengthen your heart to where you know that you know that you know, and then nothing will change that. I'll just strengthen your heart. In other words, the ability that allows you to function and move, that thing that pumps the blood in your body, that thing that allows your all of your other organs to function in its fullness is your heart, because it pumps blood to your other organs. Now, if you wait on me and be of good courage, I'll make sure that you and everything around you functions, everything in you functions correctly. This timing is everything. Notice this. So let's move a little further. I want to give you this, and I don't want to hold your time tonight. So here it is. The mother puts him in the basket. And mind you, Pharaoh was drowning babies. He was drowning babies. And you tell me, it's a testimony. It's a testimony to how God has brought you out. But when everything around you was dying, but God is still preserving you. Here it is. Every other baby born was being drowned, but here is Moses still living. Hallelujah. Bless you. I feel like running. Some of you can testify that it seems like everything around you seemed to be dying. Everything around you seemed to be going wrong. Hallelujah. But God allowed you to be preserved. Bless you, Sister Keisha. When everything else around you messed up, God allowed you to be preserved. Many of you have seen people in this pandemic and all of this lost homes and lost jobs and lost cars and had to move in with somebody else. But God has preserved you. Hallelujah. They're homeless, but God has preserved you. And they have some people have died from COVID-19, but you got it. You're still here. Hallelujah. God has preserved you. You ought to give God praise, because when everything else around you was going wrong, hallelujah, he preserved you and he kept you, not because you've been so good, but because he had a call, hallelujah, but because he had a call on your life. And God, hallelujah, the Lord kept reminding me today. He said, I did not change my mind about you. Hallelujah. I don't care what was going on. I didn't care what nobody else was doing. God did not change his mind about you. And you ought to give God praise. You ought to give God thanks that no matter what was going on around you, even no matter what you did, God did not change his mind about you. My God, would somebody just type it in for me? God did not change his mind about you. And that's a blessing. He didn't let what everybody else failed to call take you under. He didn't let the pandemic take you under. He let the status quo. Listen, if you tell the truth, some of y'all are saying, look here, forget the pandemic. I should have been gone before the pandemic happened. I should have been out the game before the pandemic even happened. I should have been dead. I should have been crazy. I should have had HIV. I should have had all kind of things. Hallelujah, that happened to me. I should have had cancer. I should have been dead in a car accident. I should have been dead from drunk driving. But yet God preserved me. Hallelujah. Bless you, Jesus. I don't want to get too loud in this hotel because I don't know what the policies are, but I feel the Holy Ghost down in my soul. Somebody ought to thank God that God kept you. Hallelujah. Bless you. He kept your life. He kept your mind. He kept your heart. He kept your peace. Yes, you felt like you were going to go crazy, but you didn't. You felt like you were going to go under, but you didn't. You felt like you were going to die, but you didn't. You felt like this was the end, but it wasn't. You felt like he was going to take you out, but it didn't. Hallelujah. You felt like no one was around you could understand, but that wasn't the truth. You still had God on your side. Hallelujah. I wish somebody would testify that he, hallelujah, bless you, Jesus, he kept me. Hallelujah. When I didn't know how, I didn't know where, I didn't know when, I didn't know what, but he kept me somehow or another. He put a song in my heart. Somehow or another, he put a praise down in my heart. Somehow or another, he sent somebody to encourage me. One way or another, God preserves you in a time, in a season where you felt like you should have been gone. You should have been down, should have been under. But I don't know about y'all, but the truth of the matter is I did not, do not, and never have deserved it, but he still did it anyway. My God, today, help me, Holy Ghost. So here it is. Here is Pharaoh's daughter taking her bath, and she sees it. Let me tell you what's crazy about this, because she knew what her dad was doing. She knew the decree he had put out, but yet still she decided to save this Hebrew boy. She wasn't fooled by the fact of what he was. She knew it was a Hebrew boy. She knew, hallelujah, she knew what it was. I'm telling you, God has sent somebody to preserve you, knowing that you didn't deserve it, knowing that you should have been dead, knowing that you messed up, knowing, hallelujah, that you were out the game, but yet still in all, God preserved you. He made sure that the decree that the enemy put out on your head, that's my God, that the hit the enemy put out on your head, my God, today could not go forth. He made sure that the hit put out on your family could not stand forth. And somebody ought to thank God that God canceled the hit. Y'all can hear my shout right there. I said, hallelujah, bless you, Jesus. I said, God canceled the hit. My God, today, hallelujah. That's why the weapon could not, that was formed against you could not prosper. God canceled the hit. God made sure that whatever the enemy said could not take you out. Bless you, because somebody else, it hit and it took them out. Somebody else, they went through that same thing and it took them completely out. Hallelujah. Somebody else had that same problem and didn't make it through. Somebody else had that same situation and did not make it through. You ought to thank God that he canceled the hit. Here it is, right? Here it is. Once again, he's in the water. Let me go back a bit. He's in the water, surrounded by death, because there are other boys in this same river who've been drowned. And I'm telling you, don't let your environment make you move too fast. Don't you let your environment and everything that's going around here seems to be haywire cause you to move too fast, because sometimes, I got to get out of here and see what's going on. You're doing too much. Blah, blah, blah. No, no. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Sometimes we're too busy, we're too quick to move because we're looking at the outside and not listening to the voice of the Lord. And sometimes you got to forget what you see and remember what he said. You're too busy moving. And sometimes we're looking for people around us to understand us. And, you know, they can't understand you because they don't know the preservation you had to go through. They don't understand what you had to go through just to make it here, just to still be alive. Sometimes we're looking for people to understand us, and they didn't have to go through what you had to go through. They have no idea what you had to deal with. They have no idea how you made it through. Hallelujah. They have no idea how you were on the verge of giving up and how maybe you were thinking about suicide or giving or throwing in the towel, taking some pills, or just giving up on God and your walk with him all together. You going to get you a drink. You were going to get you some drugs. You were going to do whatever, but yet God preserved you. They have no idea. They have no idea. And sometimes you're trying to explain your struggle to people who don't understand their own struggle, let alone yours. And the reason why people don't understand you is because they don't understand that he's preserving you. And sometimes God will tell you to shut your mouth. Anybody ever, God ever told you to shut up? Sometimes we're so busy talking and we can't hear God. And sometimes he's preserving you by telling you to be quiet because you're talking too much. You're putting too many people in the business. I could say, but God said no. I could do, but God said no. You got to recognize everybody else died, but I'm still here. Let me close my mouth and do what God told me to do. Hallelujah. But the truth of the matter is you're a fugitive. Y'all, I got to go. I got to go. The truth of the matter is you're a fugitive. The enemy's got a hit out on you. You should have been dead. You should have been out the game. You should have been one clear. You should have been gave up a long time ago. A long time ago, you should have gave up. Matter of fact, you should have been in a crazy house. Matter of fact, the enemy made a reservation for you at the crazy home 4.5 years ago. Made a reservation for you at the grave a long time ago. Hallelujah. Made a reservation for you at the hospital a long time ago. Bless the Lord. But the truth of the matter is God canceled that reservation. You should have been gone. You are a fugitive from the enemy. You are a fugitive from death. You are a fugitive from being broke down and disgusted and busted and in poverty and diminished. Hallelujah. He said, Satan desires to sift you as wheat. But the truth of the matter is, old folks sung a song, I beat the devil running. I'm so glad. Hallelujah. The devil tried to have me, but I got away. You ought to tell the truth. I got away. Because if the enemy, hallelujah, had his way, I'd be dead right now. And I know that ain't biblical to say, I beat the devil running. But the truth of the matter is, some of us had to run for our lives. Some of us had to run against, it wasn't against the devil, but you had to run for your life. Because if not, you'd be dead right now. That's it, Crystal. He canceled it. Hallelujah. Many of you know, the enemy tried to set you up, and you knew. You look back over your life and said, man, had I went right there, had I went over there, had I went to that party, had I went to that boy, that girl's house, had I went over that place, I'd be dead right now. But God canceled it. Here it is, Pharaoh's daughter hides him. And then she pays his mother, not knowing it was his mother. She pays his mother, hallelujah, to preserve him, to feed him. And I'm telling you, this is going to be a season when God's going to pay you for preservation. God's going to make sure that he finances your you should buy God, that he's going to finance your nurturing. Woo! Help me, Holy Ghost. I said God's going to finance your nurturing. He's going to make sure that you build up and you're strong, that you have all the nutrients that you need to be exactly what he called you to be. Rest of Jesus. Come on, y'all, make sure you share this for me. It's going to be a season where those who thought you were dead are going to see you still preserving and doing well, and matter of fact, and doing better than they ever thought you would be, because God's preserving you. He's got his hand on you. He's got, hallelujah, he's got his hand. Somebody just type that for me. God's got his hands on me. Hallelujah. Bless you, Jesus. And so, therefore, you find yourself claustrophobic, in a sense. Probably, what do you mean by claustrophobic? Because I'm a misfit, I don't fit in. I found that you find yourself in situations where it's rubbing, things that people say and do are rubbing you the wrong way. Not because you're being mean, not because you're being antisocial, but you don't fit in. You don't fit in with those old jokes, those old attitudes, those old dispositions, those old ways and ranges. Hallelujah. But God is making you claustrophobic in the spirit, so where you can't be around a bunch of mess. You can't be around a bunch of clutter. I got to be able to see my way clear because God has his hand on me. Because every time I try to fit in, I miss. So I'm a misfit. You'll notice the very minute you don't do what these people want you to do, they got a problem with you because you weren't supposed to be enough in the first place. And when you talk, they're always misconstruing what you're saying. Every time you say something, it turns into an argument because they don't understand what you're saying because you don't fit in there. And then God doesn't want you to keep operating in oppression. And so therefore, he makes your surroundings uncomfortable, just like he did with the Hebrews. Sometimes many of us, if you're not careful, the enemy will allow you to become functional in oppression. Whether that be mentally or emotionally or financially or spiritually, we've developed habits in oppression. We've developed comfort zones in oppression. We develop comfort spots in oppression. And God wants to deliver you out of those things, out of those places, out of those situations, because that's not the call for your life. Period. I think my time is almost up. He confronts Moses in the fire. Why? Because Moses was hidden as a prince, but living like a hero. born as a Hebrew, living as an Egyptian. So as Apostle Paul would say, sometimes our calling is contradicting our cravings. Because here it is, he's rich, he's good, got a good life. He's living lashly or lavish, you know what I'm saying? But it's not his calling. There you go, my man. And so then there's a conflict between what we should be doing and then what God has called us to do. And so therefore, we have to make sure that we are doing what God called us to do and not just what makes us comfortable or what makes us seem to be in the in crowd. Because those can always, most of the time, 98% of the time, those are two separate things. That doesn't mean you can't have swag. That doesn't mean you can't be cool. It doesn't mean that you can't be fashionable. But sometimes we forsake the calling of God for what seems to be clean and fashionable and acceptable in this time and in this season. So then once again, he speaks to Moses through fire. And many of us, let me just tell it to you like this. Many of you won't get the direction that you need until you get stuck into in the fire. You want to get certain things in a very nice way. And sometimes it won't happen. Most of the time it won't happen like that. Most of the things that God's going to tell you is going to make you extremely uncomfortable. Why? Because he's going to require that you come out of yourself. Come out of where you are right now. Come out of what you're doing right now. And then meet the call. You won't be able to stay where you are right now and then do what God's calling you to do for the future. No. God is demanding that you come out of those Egyptian clothes and be who you're supposed to be. God is demanding that you take off that facade of everything being all right and be a voice in the wilderness. Hallelujah. Bless you, Jesus. Bless you, Jesus. God's commanding you to come out of your comfort zone and be a voice in the wilderness. Yes, it's uncomfortable. Yes, it's not popular. Yes, it can seem lonely. But it is your call, it is your vocation. It's the reason why he preserved you. He didn't preserve you for you to live in the lavish luxury of an Egyptian lifestyle. I got to go, y'all. So people need to talk to my father. But the bush is not being consumed. I'm telling you, God will have the fire to you, to where you live, have you living a life where you won't be consumed. He's going to cause the smoke to stay there so someone can know what happened and how it got done. So, Prophet, what do you mean by anointed in a hostile environment? Here I am living as an Egyptian, but I'm a Hebrew. Born as a slave, but being treated like a prince. And everything that's around me is completely contrary to what God said concerning my life. And at this point, I've got to do what God called me to do. I can't be concerned about people. I can't be concerned about what fits in. I can't be concerned about what's popular. I can't even be concerned about what is comfortable and what I desire. Because God's will is what's best for my life. And I'm telling you in this season, it's okay to be uncomfortable because God has a plan for your life. And he didn't preserve you just to leave you there. All right? I love you. I'm Prophet Antoine Thomas. Do me a favor. Share this. Remember, the sky's not your limit. It's too long.
Amen, amen, amen. I told you I was excited about what the man of God was talk about tonight. He said, I got away. I had to run for my life. When I began to think about that, I thought about the song that says, I'm coming out. Yes, I'm excited about the word that was given on us tonight in Exodus, the first chapter and the second chapter. I am so excited that God is making a move in this day and time. And I am here to be a fool that God is doing. So at this time, I'm letting you all know that the lines are open. You can speak to the man of God. You can speak into his life and just tell him how he blessed you on tonight. The lines are open. Go ahead. You can speak at this time.
Hello.
Hello, go ahead. We can hear you.
Hello? Yeah, this old man, I got you. Can
go
you
ahead.
Hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, to really kind of comment on the word tonight, it described me to almost a T. And I just wanted to say how I enjoyed the word of God, along with when we're able, or when the Lord has got the calling on your life, when to step out in it. And I was just very educated in that, in the word, and as well as the teaching. I'm really excited about it. I'm almost like a first time caller listening to you, so just wanted to let you know.
Well, we appreciate you calling in. Just stay tuned to our program, and you will receive a word from God every time you tune in. God has got a word for you.
Okay.
So is there anyone else? I'm sorry. Say your good name so the prophet will know who he's talking with, listening to.
My name is Sarah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, let the prophet know that Sarah is a new listener prophet that has been calling in, faithfully listening to the program, and she got to hear you on tonight. So I'm so glad, Sarah, that you called back in for the prophet to hear you. So thank you. Keep tuning in, baby. So is there anyone
okay.
else that would like? Is there anyone else that would like to speak into the man of God heart on tonight to let him know how he blessed you?
Prophet Antoine, this is Cecilia. Thank you so much for encouraging us to get out of those comfort zones, because there's so much suppression and oppression in those comfort zones. And for those of you who may not know, I work in the DMV area, and we know that there's a lot of things going on dealing with systemic and various institutionalized racism, sexism, et cetera. And I remember when Apostle Sandra Thomas was always teaching me, Cecilia, stop being so timid, stop being so timid. And I remember when God started dealing with me about leaving those comfort zones. And my, like you said, Prophet, anointed in a hostile environment is gotta be with God. Because if you try to do it without God, So thank you. Like Minister Sarah said, that word was to her and it was to me as well. So thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Apostle, so much for tuning in on tonight. Is there anyone else that would like to speak into the man of God's life on tonight? Okay, well, we want to thank you all for tuning in on this Friday night program, this fourth Friday, to listen to this man of God, this awesome man of God, speak into our lives and give us instructions of what God had given him to tell us, given him the word to just pour into our spirit on tonight to allow us to receive it. We want to say thank you for joining in. What I'm going to do now is give you our final remarks, and then the man of God will be praying us out as we go on with our weekend. We're going to just keep God first. Keep him first and keep our mind stayed on Jesus. Okay? So I want to like to say we are here every Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time, 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, with our very own Apostle Elect Cecilia Kaiser, Minister Sheila Kaiser, and Minister Brandon Kaiser. We're also here on this program, Blog Talk, Iron Sharpening Iron, every Monday night at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This will be the first Monday coming up, and the first Monday will be our very own Dr. Serena Wright. We want to thank you all for just giving us the chance to minister to you. Again, that's 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And next Friday will be our first Friday of the month with our very own Minister Sylvia Kaiser, which that's me, 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Don't forget our foundational scripture is Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We also would like for you all to support Missionary Linda Handy with her prayer line on Fridays at 6 p.m. Central Standard Time, Sundays at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time. Her phone number is 605-313-4818, 605-313-4818. Her code password is 647-147. That's 647-147. We also would like for you to support Dr. Apostle Loretta Pickett. She has a daily prayer line Monday through Fridays from 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. Her phone number is 425-436-6341. Her passcode is 660-925. Passcode 660-925. Her foundational scripture is 2 Chronicles 7:14. Don't forget our Dr. Serena Wright. She's written a book called The Last Prescription You'll Ever Need. You can reach her by going to her email, givetoafrica@yahoo.com. That's givetoafrica@yahoo.com. That's G-I-V-E, the number 2, AFRICIA@yahoo.com. Or you can reach her by Facebook, capital D-R, capital C-Y-R-E-N-E-W-R-I-G-H-T. Her IM is the same as her Facebook. And don't forget about our pastor, Troy Thomas, who has Sunday worship at 2:30 p.m. You can reach him by Facebook Live. And also, I'm going to ask the prophet if he have any cheap plugs he would like to give us to for his upcoming events. To let us know.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. On October 12th, let me make sure I look at that date right, y'all. Forgive me. Because there's quite a few dates in my head. October the 11th. On October the 11th, we'll be with Pastor Dion Johnson in Gary, Indiana. I'm looking up. I'm sorry. Let me get the address for us. Real quick, his 12th year church anniversary. Pastor Darnell Johnson will be with them on the 11th of October, and that address is 521 Ralston Street in Gary, Indiana, and we'll be there on the 11th at 7 p.m. at 6 p.m. I'm sorry, that Sunday, and if you're able to come through, you're able to be there. By all means, we were there with him just about 2 weeks ago. And we had such an awesome time in the Lord. We couldn't even dismiss the service. It was just that awesome. But we're looking to have another high time in the Lord. Meet us there if you can. I believe God's going to bless us real good.
Okay, thank you, man of God. When you said the pastor name is what again now?
Pastor Darnell Johnson.
All right.
And when they gave us the flyer, of course, we'll post the flyer as well as soon as we receive that. so that we can, you know, keep you aware and keep you keep that in the front of your mind as well.
Okay. So again, Pastor, thank you so much for tonight. It was such a blessing. I would like for you to pray us out at this time, and at the end of the pastor's prophet's prayer, we would say to you all, good night. There's nothing you can do about the love we have for you, and it's a good night for us. Just tell God thank you. Go ahead, prophet, please pray us out.
Father, we just thank you. We give you praise, Father, for what our eyes have seen, for what our ears have heard, and most importantly, what our hearts have received. Father, it's our prayer tonight that we would have, Father, holy ambition with wisdom and righteousness. And, Father, that we would be guided by your timing and by your hand. Father, help us to not just know the word of God, but know the God of the word, that we would understand your heartbeat, and it would be our desire to hear from you clearly. We love and we appreciate you, and we thank you, Father, for what you're doing in our lives as of right now. Father, beat back the hand of the enemy. Touch our nation, Father. Touch our government, Father. Lean on their hearts, Father. And we pray for change in our streets in the mighty name of Jesus. We give you praise, we give you honor, and we give you glory for what you shall do. Father, you arise and let your enemies be scattered, and the glory shall be thine in Jesus' mighty name. It is so, and so it is. Amen.
Amen. Good night, everyone.